All right. I'm going to keep it simple tonight. Actually, get 19 and 20. Throw 20 in there. Okay. I'm going to keep it simple tonight. I just have a couple of things. And this is related to Charlottesville and to things I've been processing on a personal level in regards to that. But I wanted to give a little bit tonight just something that I think has been helpful for me in that process and hopefully will be helpful for you as well if maybe you struggle with how do I engage with the world around me and difficult issues that involves Facebook and people with all kinds of opinions all over the place and news coming at us like 1,000 miles a minute and opinions flying at us 1,000 miles a minute. And how do we navigate all that in a way that allows us to be present but not overcome? Maybe that's not your problem, but I feel like that's my problem a lot of times is I want to be present in those things, but not overcome by those things. And a lot of times, actually, if I get to a place where I'm overwhelmed or overcome by something, I want to disengage. I want to not be present in it because I don't know about you, but I don't like being overwhelmed in a way of like, this is just too much. And I don't think that's the way it's supposed to be. I'm just thinking about Jesus in the sense that, in case you don't notice, in case you haven't noticed, when we read the Gospels, like we see Jesus, a man who was present, but not overcome. And that's the tension I think we live in is how do we stay present in the things that are happening and the problems around us and the issues and not be overwhelmed by those things? How do we develop a response to those things and not a reaction to those things? Because I think there's a difference. And so I just want to talk about that a little bit. Because, again, I feel like this has been helpful for me even between last night and today because we were gone Friday and most of yesterday, and I didn't really get up to speed even on what happened in Charlottesville till this morning, and it was literally like wake up, check Facebook. I don't know if that happens for you, but probably shouldn't check Facebook before two things, coffee and Jesus. But it's like there waiting for me. It's like the newspaper on your you know, bedside table. You don't even have to leave your front door to get it. And so I was just like, whoa, that was my initial response. And I just said, okay, Jesus, I need some more of you right now. And what I want to talk about is how to process and respond, and specifically how we can process and respond if maybe you're having trouble with that right now in light of Charlottesville or in light of other things. And I want to actually pull from this verse in James 1. Now let's read that. It says, "My dear brothers, take note of this." This includes sisters. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. (Clears throat) So there's a few things here. Sorry, I'm going through a puberty moment. Getting choked up, and I don't even know why. Water, it's good. Thank you forever filled up my cup. Did you fill up my cup? I went to my cup, and it was heavy. Completely full. Because of my beautiful... Yeah, my cover. That's what I said, actually. It was a very cheesy pastor thing to say, but I said it. Thank you. There's a couple things here. Now, I want to just get something out of the way first. All right? I realize that sometimes this passage gets used to as a way to tell people to be quiet. That's not what I'm going to talk about. So if you're wondering if that's where we're going, it's not where we're going. So you can just relax. All right? That's not the application that I see here. But I love, actually, that this is for everyone. Right? This is for everyone. This is for all of us, okay? So we all have something to learn here. And it says three things. Be quick to listen. Say quick to listen. All right, good. You're doing a good job. Slow to speak. Slow to become angry. So there's those three words, quick, slow, and slow. Okay? Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say be quick to listen, don't speak, don't become angry. You notice that? It says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to be angry. And so I think it's kind of, one, it's a priority list. It's really where our priorities should be as we process things, as we encounter things, as stuff comes up that we need to actually, we do need to respond to. In fact, we are responding to already, maybe in fact, we're not responding, we're reacting to things that are confronting us, things that actually may be stirring up emotions that we don't want to feel, like anger. Things that we would want to have our voice heard over somebody else's because what they're saying is upsetting us or it's stupid, even. Are you with me? And yet there's this wisdom from God here that says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And I want to talk about what that sort of looks like. So who are we listening to? That's the first question. I don't know. I don't know who James was referring to. But even in our listening, right, which is the first part of this, the question is, who are we listening to? And that's a pretty important question, I think, for us to answer and to figure out. Who are we listening to when we listen? So first it's posturing ourselves to listen, but then the next question is, who are we listening to? And I really believe that in things like what transpired this weekend, we have to find ourselves listening first and foremost to Him, to Jesus, to the Father. Quick to listen. I think quick to listen actually starts with us saying, God, I need to hear your voice. I need to hear what you're saying right now. Because there are a lot of voices. And we hear them. We hear them. But we need to hear and listen for His voice, and let it be the thing, the reaction that we have when things come and confront us. Things that we perhaps should be confronted by. To say, okay, God, what are you saying? And I felt like that was the place I was in this morning. God, I need to be with you because I need to hear what you're saying. I need to know what you're thinking. I need to know what your heart is right now in this matter. And, you know, we talk about this a lot here because it's true. It's this privilege that is hearing from God. And this is one of the ways we walk that out, is that in the middle of things that we don't understand, in the middle of difficulties, in the middle of things that would seek to overwhelm us, that we would come before the Father and say, God, what are you saying right now? And that question is a personal one, because you know what? In regards to what happened yesterday in Charlottesville, there may be 20 different responses in this room that God wants to speak to us, that God wants to bring about. It's not all the same. You realize that? And so it's really important that we're not first relying on, in fact, even what someone else has heard from God in this matter, because God might be calling you uniquely to some purpose in this that isn't somebody else's purpose. That's powerful. Like, some of us are born interceders, intercessors. One of those. And maybe, in fact, bringing this to God is going to result in God saying, here's some things to pray into. Some of us aren't natural born intercessors. And in fact, maybe bringing this to God, he says, guess what? I know this isn't something you've considered fun, like you do it all weekend kind of thing, but I want you to pray. And here's how. Or, as you're asking him, God, I don't know what to do right now. I don't know how to respond to this. I don't know what to say. And he reminds you, guess what? I'm already in it. I'm already interceding. On your behalf, on Charlottesville's behalf, on the behalf of the victims, on the behalf of the perpetrators, I'm interceding. That's why we need to be quick to listen for his voice, so that we can understand what heaven is thinking about the problems that are happening around us. Because we can't afford to just have other people's opinions in that. We need heaven's understanding. And I believe there is a unique unfolding of that for each one of us. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. I know it's a simple thing, but I don't know. For me, I felt like the reality of that really hit home today. It's like, God, I just need to be centered in you. Not just so that I'll won't feel overwhelmed, but because I need direction in this. I need some understanding. I need some purpose in this from you. I need to see what you're seeing right now. And do you realize heaven always sees through the lens of hope? So if we're not seeing even the despair in front of us through the lens of hope, then we're not seeing it the way heaven is. That's a problem. Because we're supposed to know the hope of the world, the hope of the nations, Jesus. So if we're hopeless, then that's a real problem. I'm just saying we can't afford to be dealing with problems without the perspective of heaven. And so we need to be quick to listen. And I guarantee you that he wants to speak into it. Guarantee you. Because he's not apathetic to these things. We see that in the person of Jesus. Amen. You guys with me? I hope this is encouraging. If it's old news, then okay. There's a second part to this. So as we process things and as we are working towards formulating a response, we start with listening. And that listening starts with his voice, but it doesn't end there. And I think this, the second part is also really valuable, because in God's design, he has given us the privilege to hear from him, and we can come boldly before him to ask, to seek, to knock on doors and ask him to open those doors. But he brings us into part of his design and his will that includes the people around us. Right? So that, I think, and perhaps, I don't know if James is talking about listening to God or listening to the people around you, but I would say it's both. Right? And humility is evidenced by both of those things. So we are listening for God's voice, but we're not ignorant to the fact that God often uses the people and the things around us to reveal his voice. And especially those that are his church. And so, in fact, sometimes we really need each other, because the thing that God wants to say, we're not able to hear it until somebody else speaks it to us. I'm speaking from experience. I feel like there's blind spots that we need somebody else to speak into because we can't see it. And so in regards to being quick to listen, I think the second part of that is relying on what God is saying through the people around us, and particularly those that we know that they're listening to him. And we know that the things that they're hearing, they've processed with God. And the things that they're sharing, we know that they're things that perhaps we're not seeing, but we need to. And that's why we need the diversity and the unity of the body. And that really hit me today. Just, I'll say that was the one good thing about being on Facebook, was I was actually really encouraged by some of the voices that were already engaging and had clearly spent time listening for his voice before formulating a response. And they shared those things. And I had some of that to share with you guys, and that was part of what I didn't print out. But I was encouraged by a few people in that way today. Another pastor in our city, George Hopkins. If you guys don't know George, you should know George. He is awesome. And one of the first posts I woke up to was a post from George, and he addressed it to white pastors, and I said, "Hey, that's me." And it's from George, and I know the love that's in George's heart, and so I was like, "I should read this." And it was just a very kind, challenging word to not ignore and to not disengage. And to not let even being uncomfortable or fear keep you from saying what needs to be said. And I need to hear that today. And I was like, thank you, George. Thank you, God, for speaking through George in that way. George, if you're listening, thank you. I doubt you're listening to our podcast, but one can hope. The second was a good friend in California, Jason Peterson, and in regards to yesterday's events, I felt like he had a really poignant observation that perhaps many have overlooked, myself included, which was just the way that the whole riot was handled, and the space and the room for things to get out of hand that was given because of what the people who were instigating looked like. Did we notice that? So yesterday showed us again that racism is alive and well in many people's hearts. Big surprise. Hopefully that's not a surprise. Maybe for some people it was. And it was a very aggressive and ugly expression, very loud expression of that. But what he said is, beyond that, what we should really see from yesterday is that not only is racism alive, but we see a very big discrepancy between how law enforcement handles moments of violence depending on who is instigating that violence and what they look like. So how did things get out of hand the way it did? Well, people show up with torches and they happen to be white, and so they got a lot of room to express their opinions with torches and whatever else. So I just thought that was just a powerful observation and something that we've seen happen quite a bit. The third one was from Michelle Norton. You guys know her? Love Michelle. She used to be part of our church, and she's in Georgia now. Yeah, she might be listening. Michelle, I hope you're listening. I believe you are. We love you. We love what God has called you to in Atlanta, and we bless you, and thank you for being engaged. Thank you for showing us your fiery side on Facebook. And, you know, Michelle shared a number of things, including just engaging with people and grace-filled but challenging dialogue. But she shared a prayer that I want us to. We're gonna actually read together at the end of this. I got a couple more things real quick, and then I want us to kind of end in prayer together. We're gonna pray through this corporate prayer, which I know we don't do a lot of, but I felt like it was a very focused way to engage together in prayer, and then we might open up the room for anybody that wants to pray beyond that. And then I appreciated what David shared. David, if you're listening, he's not listening because we don't have the baby monitor on. He's in the nursery. I appreciated his thoughts this morning. So, you know, I just think that in that way, we need to surround ourselves with people that particularly we know are listening for his voice and can broaden our ability to hear it through their words. And that is a beautiful thing about Facebook, okay? I know there's a lot of things we can knock about it, but you know, if there's some people that you like to hear from and you're not hearing from on Facebook because there's other people that you're friends with and you don't even know how you got friends with and their stuff is populating your feed, well, you can actually hide that. You know, you don't have to unfriend them. You can just hide it so you get more of the stuff that you need to hear. So you can be strategic about how you set it up. If that's helpful. When I found that out, I was like, oh, this is amazing. Hide. It says, do you want to hide posts from this person and still be their friend? Sure. What would Jesus do? All right, last thing. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. But speak. And have permission to be angry in the right way. I think that's what this is saying. Be slow to speak, so that your words have weight to them when you speak. Be slow to speak so that you're not reacting, you are responding based on what you've heard from heaven. But speak. I'm talking, I'm preaching to myself. And you can't be angry. And notice, because it says, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. But there is an anger that comes from heaven that does bring about life, because it calls out the things that are destroying life. It's called righteous indignation, righteous anger. Be slow to become angry so that your anger is actually weighted in the things that God gets angry about. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want to be engaged in the way that he's engaged. And I believe that means being angry about things that he paid to not be the way they are. He paid a price so that it wouldn't be the way it is. And I have to fight the apathy in my heart, because anger is often replaced with apathy, especially when it comes to things that I don't feel the direct effect of. And yet, Jesus is giving us permission to be angry against the things that he opposes. So, we do need to respond. Okay, I'm going to read this prayer. And the prayer has two parts, as you'll see. And you can read both parts with me if you want, because I gave the script for all of us. I didn't keep it to myself. This isn't it. Jeff's got it somewhere. Yeah, there it is. Let's do that. Let's read the whole prayer together. So, first part and second part, and it kind of repeats, okay? Lord Jesus, your kingdom is good news for a world caught in racial hostility. We ask that you would give us grace for the deep challenges facing our country. O Lord, only you can make all things new. Lord, we confess our anger, our deep sadness, and our collective sense of weakness to see this world healed through our own strength. O Lord, only you can make all things new. Lord, we honestly confess that our country has a long history of racial oppression, that racism has been a strategy of evil powers and principalities. O Lord, only you can make all things new. Lord, we confess that the gospel is good news for the oppressed and the oppressor. Both are raised up. Both are liberated. But in different ways. The oppressed are raised up from the harsh burden of inferiority, the oppressor from the destructive illusion of superiority. O Lord, only you can make all things new. Lord, we confess that the gospel is your power to form a new people not identified by dominance and superiority, but by unity in the Spirit. O Lord, only you can make all things new. Lord, we ask that you would help us name our part in this country's story of racial oppression and hostility. Whether we have sinned against others by seeing them as inferior, or whether we have been silent in the face of evil, forgive us our sin. O Lord, only you can make all things new. Lord, we pray for our enemies, for those who have allowed satanic powers to work through them. Grant them deliverance through your mighty power. O Lord, only you can make all things new. Lord, we ask that you would form us to be peacemakers. May we be people who speak the truth in love as we work for a reconciled world. O Lord, Only you can make all things new. Lord, we commit our lives to you, believing that you are working in the world in spite of destructive powers and principalities, bringing healing to those who are hurt, peace to those who are anxious, and love to those who are fearful. We wait for you, O Lord. Make haste to help us. O Lord, only you can make all things new.